That's not persecution. That's not suffering. It's pathetic, if you think it is, because it's sort of like, oh, you know, they don't like you. What, do you expect them to like you? They're supposed to want to kill you. That's suffering. That's persecution. They want to throw you in jail. That's persecution. So he says, you know, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, that's, you know, to be defamed or to rail at, to chide. Hey, yeah, okay, word can be in there, sure. But let it be kind of, it's not just like, ah, you're full of it. I'm being reproached. Let it be something pretty strong. What I mean is, like, I don't go around congratulating myself every time someone turns their back on me. I look for a greater reproach, a greater suffering. And let you, be reproached not for because, like, well, I believe in Jesus. No, because of the gospel. Because I'll tell you what, I could be reproached for Jesus, and it's not even, and honestly, all it does is grieve me. And what do I mean? Like, I try to tell someone the gospel, and they say, I know all that. I heard so-and-so, you're just like all those other Christians. Oh, that just grieves me. The people would not understand the difference. The people would just be like, eh. And his name is evil spoken of because of those people working so hard to absolutely reproach his name. And they don't even know what they're doing. And the wicked don't even know that that's what they are doing. But they think, I've always lamented that people who don't believe in God actually believe that people like ministers on TV are pretty much accurate representatives of what the Bible teaches. So though they don't follow their teaching, they do believe that their teachings are accurate to what the scriptures teach. And they're not. That's what really gets me. That's what kind of bugs me. Because it's sort of like, and then I get thrown in with that. That really grieves me. Because I don't even count that as being reproached for the name of Christ. That's just sort of like, I'm being lumped in with those people. Peter couldn't, could he even conceive what it's like now? How, like, I mean, they had, like, this, Christianity was almost like their monopoly, man, back then. You know, now it's like everybody's got it. Everybody knows it. Everybody's got a gospel. Everybody's preaching something. Everybody's got a TV show, a radio program. And everything I've ever seen is absolutely terribly wrong. It doesn't match up with the teaching of the apostles. And it's astonishing. They say, Paul, well, why do you think you're so right? It's like, I don't. It's just, all I can do is go with the understanding God gives me. Meaning, if God sets it in my heart to feel like everybody else is wrong, what am I going to do? Go against that and say, no, they're humans, they must be right. The witness and testimony of the Spirit of God in me is, it must not be right. I should just go along. I can't. Conscience won't allow it. It's not that I think I'm better than everybody, because I know there's plenty more intelligent men than me. Yet, that which I hear, I speak, and that which I see, I show. That's all I can do. I can't, you know, if I don't agree, I don't care if he's the smartest man on the planet Earth, and he's preaching a false gospel, I can't agree with him. And I don't think you have to be a genius to understand these things. Now, sometimes with their cunning craftiness, they lie in wait to deceive you. It's sort of like they snare the simple-minded by their flowery speech and by their much, you know, talking. You know, but instead of following the gospel, they follow something else, the wisdom of man, and they use it to mesmerize and to deceive. And I guess when I read this stuff, I feel like, man, most of the reproach, when I felt dismissed by people as a Christian, or like they didn't want to hear me, it was because they felt they'd already heard it all. And there I sit knowing, no, I've got a very different gospel thing, but it's like, what am I going to do, shove it down their throats? when God calls me to, maybe I will. But he's, now I look for a door of utterance. As Paul said, I look for a door of utterance that I may speak the gospel boldly. I look for that opportunity. For the most part, I see doors shut. You know, I begin to speak it and the doors close. The minds shut. The eyes go blank. They turn away. They go their way. They don't want to hear. So we talked about verse 15. Let none of you suffer as an evildoer. Think about that. Think about all the ministers that get brought down. And they suffer. Do they think they're partaking of the suffering of Christ? I think they should know better. But there, look it. You know, it's like... So if we suffer in truth as Christians, there's no reason to be ashamed. But we can glorify God on that behalf. Verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing, as unto a faithful creator. I like that. So the time is coming, or is come. The words are in italics. Let's just read it without it. The time that judgment must begin at the house of God. Or you could say, for it is the season, or it is the time that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Judgment begins at us. Because, you know, the dead in Christ shall be raised. We will be with him before all, you know, and the rest of the dead are going to be raised. We will be judged ahead of time. Some men's are judged before time, going ahead of them to judgment. I want to have my judgment now. So when Christ appears, I'm like him. And there's no judgment at all. I just appear at his judgment seat merely to for him to say to me, come sit down in the kingdom and prepare for you and your father. Prepare for you of your father. Where he says, hands you the rod of iron and says, sit down with me in my throne. Rule with me over the nations with the rod of iron. Those are the promises given to the church in regards to the victory of Christ. We are going to rule with him